Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off the play fake. And that ball's up in the air and taken away by Petrie. Jalen Petrie has done it again.
Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny skies today. High in the upper 70s, up around 80. Should be like the last hot day. If you want to say that 80 degrees is hot, should be the last one of those, could be the last one of those in 2025. Donnie Football in for the guys on this Monday post bye week. They will be back tomorrow for a Tomlin Tuesday. And if you stepped out from NFL viewing yesterday and you just heard that call there from Ian Eagle on the NFL on CBS from the Texans and Ravens broadcast, it was a very good Sunday for your Pittsburgh Steelers. The rest of the AFC North went down. Minnesota 21, Cleveland 17 in London. Houston 44, Baltimore 10. Detroit 37, Cincy 24. The Bills lost. The Eagles lost. Nobody around this league looks unstoppable. We don't have a dominant force this season. It's not the 07 Patriots. It's not the 2013 Broncos, who I know eventually lost in the Super Bowl. But we do not have a team that will threaten the 72 Dolphins, who already, less than a full month into the season, are popping their champagne bottles and celebrating that no team will be perfect in the 2025 season. The Steelers have a golden opportunity to take full advantage of a division that is currently in a tailspin. The division is 1-6 combined in the last 2 weeks. The Steelers are 1-0. They were off yesterday. This weekend, they had the win against the Vikings in Dublin last Sunday. Everybody else is 0-6 combined. The Bengals continue to lose without Joe Burrow. The Browns continue to lose even after a quarterback change. Although, to credit them, they were the only team in the AFC North yesterday that looked interested in playing football. They had the Vikings down to the wire. Minnesota getting a game-winning touchdown pass from Carson Wentz to Jordan Addison in the final minute. And then the Ravens got shellacked without Lamar Jackson and about six Pro Bowlers on that roster. They were very injury-riddled. I understand that. They got whooped. A 44-10 loss at home to the Texans, who are barely averaging like 17 points per game. ESPN's Football Power Index currently gives the Steelers a 62.5% chance of winning the AFC North. That's a nice little change. I know that Vegas is not in on that action yet, because Pony's friends at FanDuel still have the Ravens as the team to beat in the AFC North. Baltimore minus 105, Pittsburgh plus 1, Cincy plus 1100, and the Cleveland Browns at plus 1700. For the record, I would actually pick the Browns over the Bengals if I had to pick between the two. Cincinnati minus Joe Burrow, that team doesn't do anything well. The Browns can at least run the football and play defense, and there were times yesterday where I thought Dylan Gabriel looked decent. Baltimore currently has a 28.1% chance of winning the North, according to ESPN's Football Power Index. Lamar Jackson needs to get healthy, and then Baltimore will need to go like 9-2, 8-2 down the stretch of the season, which they could do. They do have what I would say is a pretty favorable schedule. A much weaker one than what the Steelers will look at. And even though they are currently third in the AFC North, they are tied with the Browns, although they hold the tiebreaker due to the head-to-head victory. Baltimore is technically behind Cincinnati. The Bengals are no threat. They don't have Joe Burrow until the middle of December. They need to make a quarterback change, and they need to make a quarterback trade, perhaps, like right now. I also think the Ravens will go to Tyler Huntley on Sunday. They play the Rams. That looks like another loss. The Rams do have to come across the country and play a game, but the Ravens are spiraling. Three consecutive losses, none of which all that close. Two of them not as close as these scores indicate. 38-30 loss against Detroit. They were down by two scores late. Kansas City beat them 37-20, not even as close as that score indicates. And then yesterday was just a beatdown. Cooper Rush was awful, three interceptions. He is just nowhere close to the same quarterback as Lamar Jackson, so that made me wonder immediately why he was the guy they acquired in free agency. Just keep doing your thing with Tyler Huntley. He's nowhere close to being as good as Lamar Jackson, but he's at least the same skill set. Can occasionally throw the ball, not that well in Huntley's case, but he can also move. Cooper Rush does not provide that for you. So Lamar needs to get healthy, and this team needs to go on a run. The Steelers also would have to collapse a bit for the Ravens to catch them. And with the Ravens, their case, that defense is brutal, even when healthy. So the door is wide open for the Steelers to host a playoff game in front of a packed house for the first time since the 2017 season. They have hosted a playoff game since. It was the COVID season in 2020, that embarrassing loss to the Cleveland Browns. I think they had, 1,000 people in the stands that night, if that. I want to see on wild card weekend, or hell, maybe it's even a divisional matchup. I don't see the Steelers being the number one seed in the AFC for what it's worth. I want to see a playoff game in Pittsburgh and 68,000 people in the stands, and we are getting ready for a playoff game in this town. It would add some pressure to actually win the game, something they have not done since the 2016 postseason when they beat Kansas City via six field goals from Chris Boswell. But it is tough to not get a little excited by how the season has started. And I know plenty of people are calling it fool's gold, and it might be, ultimately. You very well could be correct. That's why I am really trying hard to not jump all in and say, this team has the division in the bag. We are barely a month into the season. I know the Ravens are staring 1-5 in the face, while Pittsburgh is looking at a 4-1 start if they take care of the Browns at home on Sunday. But we have seen the Steelers collapse before. Last season, they did it. They've done it multiple times in the last decade. They have held a 2 or 3 or 2.5 game lead on Baltimore with like 5 weeks to go, barely a month to go in the season, and they've blown it. But I've also noticed something else around the league. Yesterday, maybe more so than any other point this season, because I was able to get a feel for every single game that was going on, getting to watch some of the quote-unquote best teams in football, the elites. I just don't know. You watch these other teams play, and how many of them look that much better than the Steelers do right now? I don't think Pittsburgh's the best team in football. I don't think they're the best team in the AFC. But I don't know if you can name more than 3 or 4 teams in the AFC that are definitively better than Pittsburgh at the current moment. I would still say Buffalo, but the Bills are leaking oil, and they have been for weeks. They played 2 games against the Dolphins and the Saints, and those teams were in the game late in the second half. The Dolphins were a roughing the punter penalty away from possibly winning. They would have gotten the ball back. They lost last night at home to the Patriots. The Bills, if it feels like all they do is play home games, they have played 4 games at home this season, and the year is only 5 weeks old. So they must have a very...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back heavy away schedule. The Chiefs, I would say, are still up there. I never want to count that team out. I never want to pronounce that team dead. They came alive against the Ravens last week. I do think this Monday night football game will be a fun one. The Jags feel like they are in that category of potential fool's gold. The Jags and the Colts. If you ask me, both teams are, well, the Colts are now 4-1. The Jags are 3-1. Will the Chiefs look good on offense 2 weeks in a row? Because it's been mostly a broken offense until they got to play that bad Baltimore defense. And speaking of Baltimore and speaking of leaking oil, my goodness, the Ravens are in trouble. Unless Lamar puts on that Superman cape, and they get rolling in the second half of the season, they have to get healthy. I think they have favorable matchups, if I haven't made that clear enough already. But he has to be 100%, and they have to start playing some semblance of defense. And will water find its level with the Colts? They just demolished the Raiders yesterday, who, by the way, what's going on there? Geno Smith looks terrible. He has 9 interceptions, I believe, in 5 games this year. Awful. The Chargers, they have lost 2 straight to the Giants and then a 3-score loss at home to the Commanders. The Broncos, an impressive win yesterday. They are now starting to stack wins a little bit. They're 3-2. They may have had, with the Patriots, one of the more impressive wins of the afternoon. They came back from two scores down. They beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. That doesn't happen often. And we'll see about the Jags tonight. But there are a lot of question marks around these teams in the AFC. The Steelers right there among them, I get that. The defense looked awful for the first two games. It was a bend-don't-break effort for that third game in New England. They finally put together a pretty complete game against Minnesota. I'm not saying that the team in Pittsburgh is perfect, but it feels like they belong right now in the AFC because nobody is really separating themselves as the top dog. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Football in for the guys on this Monday post-bye week. 1 hour of overtime with me coming from 6 until 7, leading you into Monday Night Football coverage on the Fan, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood 1. Jags and Chiefs tonight kick off at 8:15. Right now on the Fan Hotline, our guy, Brian Batko, covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Brian, a very extensive library, it looks like, behind you on the video feed if you're tuning in on YouTube.
Yeah, Donnie, I've got my shelf of some sports books. I've got John Stockton here mixed in, and then a lot of the wife's literature is on here as well, and my house smells of rich mahogany.
Is that a Ron Burgundy move there? Rich mahogany?
Absolutely. I had to bring some flavor to this show. I mean, we've got Nick Farabaugh as the small plates. We've got Bro Smeltzer coming in as the appetizer. I guess Ricard Raquel was the main course. And what am I, the dessert?
Yeah, and I mean, if it's smelling of rich mahogany and you're in your den with all of your books, that sounds like a pretty good setting, Brian.
Yeah, I think I'd be a creme brulee, probably. That's my go-to.
What do you think of the people that go on like the Zoom stuff or even people on like national shows, you know, ESPN, Fox, and they have the fake bookshelf background?
Oh, so some of those are not real? This is real. I can pull a book out of here. I mean, this is legit. But yeah, I mean, the Post-Gazette told us like, hey, we're doing a lot of shows, a lot of videos. Get your background game right. So when the kids aren't here running around, yeah, I can set up shop in, it looks like a study from the YouTube page, but it's really just a toy room if I were to zoom out.
What is your favorite book on that shelf behind you?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I could give a plug for Quarterback of Steel, the Post-Gazette's Ben Roethlisberger, you know, coffee table book here. But I have right by it Friday Night Lights. It's tough to beat that book even better than the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it also, the movie, which I love, it is my favorite football movie, but I have read the book, and I did not expect it to be that glaringly different. I'll just say that.
Yeah. The book, the themes in the book, the context, pretty dense. I don't know if I have it on here, but I was a big Catcher in the Rye fan in like high school. So
how about Of Mice and Men? That was always my favorite.
Yep. Very good book. A short book too, which was great for my, you know, sports fan attention span. But yeah, I probably haven't sat down and read like a fiction or even nonfiction book, not about sports, in a long, long time, a shamefully long time.
Little John Steinbeck, you can work into the mix there.
George and Lenny, absolutely.
I'm trying to now I'm running through all of the books that they made us read in high school. I mean, I think it was junior year. I want to say it was all of like the dystopian ones.
Great Gatsby,
Crime and Punishment.
1984, Animal Farm. What are some? Gatsby was one of them. Charlie.
You had to read Fahrenheit 451.
Yes, that was another one.
Ooh, those. I think I would enjoy those more now as a 34-year-old than I could appreciate them then.
I loved reading the ones like those Dan Gutman books. You know, where the kid would like hold on to a sports card and he would go back in time to that era.
What about,
you know,
Matt Christopher? The Boy Who Only Hit Home Runs.
I read a couple of those. I was always going down that Dan Gutman well, though. Like elementary school me in a book fair, I was either getting some stupid sports poster or a Dan Gutman book.
Mike Lupica has a ton of like kids sports books. There's a shelf in our library and
phenomenal book.
So many. Yeah.
Heat, that was one of my favorite ones. And actually, Joe Smeltzer would be a big fan of hearing that one. He's
still listening.
He's been ragging me about Heat by Mike Lupica for years now. Brian, a little practice report from the Steelers this afternoon. It seems like they're getting a little bit healthier post-bye week.
Yeah, I mean, Calvin Austin and Jalen Ramsey going down out in Dublin was no bueno. But, I mean, Alex Highsmith seems like he is basically on track. He kind of laid it out for us afterward. I mean, he's been at this long enough. And unfortunately for Alex, I'm not trying to take a shot at him, but he's been injured enough. He's had enough different ailments that he has sort of gone through this far too much for his own liking. But he's basically like, yeah, if I can, get limited Wednesday, Thursday, get a full day's work in Friday, I'll feel good about playing Sunday against the Browns. But I think he's on the right track. Joey Porter Jr. expecting to play. Jaylen Warren, I mean, I don't think there's much question there. He didn't talk after practice, Donnie, but I was surprised he didn't even play against the Vikings. He was out there on the pitch at Croke Park before the game, testing it out, warming up. Maybe he just really wanted to make sure he was back for the Browns and didn't risk it. But, yeah, I think all those guys are good. And, Deshaun Elliott, I don't think he came out of Dublin any worse for the wear either. So a couple injuries with Ramsey and Austin, but otherwise pretty clean bill of health.
When it comes to Alex Highsmith now being back from injury, how are they going to split up things at edge rusher? Because Nick Herbig has been too good to keep off the field.
Yeah, I don't know how you cut into Mr. Herbig's snaps. Maybe I think the happy medium there is try to roll out this package with three outside linebackers. Now, what do? You take an inside linebacker off the field and trust that any of those three, but especially I think TJ Watt and Nick Herbig, can drop in coverage and do some things off the ball if you want to confuse Dylan Gabriel? Do you take a D lineman off the field? Because, you know, at least until last week when Keanu Benton showed up, you hadn't been getting a ton of push from those guys on the interior. Either way, it's just nice to have options right now for Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin. And Alex Highsmith said, you know, it was not fun to be injured, but, you know, watching Herbig step in for him again, much like a season ago, was great to see. And, you know, unfortunately, maybe for Highsmith down the road, could end up supplanting him, but at least for now, it gives them a three-headed monster.
You think TJ Watt is excited about finally being the blind side to a quarterback?
Yeah, that's right. Dylan Gabriel, the lefty. That's an interesting angle there. I hadn't thought of that. Literally, pun intended, Donnie. So TJ will, I'm sure, talk to us on Friday, and we can get into some of that. But I always, too, look at the Steelers-Browns games anymore as kind of the AFC North 2025 NFL version of Maguire-Sosa when TJ Watt and Myles Garrett are facing off. So I know they always like to say they're not on the field at the same time. It's not like they're matching up with each other directly one-on-one, but I think we both know those two guys use each other as the ultimate measuring stick.
Something tells me they're not as friendly as Sosa and Maguire were, though.
Yeah, probably not. And, you know, hopefully, nothing else going on there that has certainly marred the legacies of Mark Maguire and Sammy Sosa.
Some other news coming from the Steelers. Adam Schefter put this out there a couple of hours ago. They signed veteran running back and return man Raheem Blackshear to the practice squad. Is this dude going to get elevated? Was this even something on your radar? Does this mean there's another injury to a running back that we don't know about?
No, I mean, first of all, if you even know Raheem Blackshear's name, that probably means you were really hard up in fantasy some year and rolled him out there to the tune of like 3.3 points in PPR. So God bless you if you do know Raheem Blackshear. But I think it's probably more so, yeah, a little bit more depth in the returner game with Calvin Austin sidelined. And remember, too, I mean, Trey Sermon's been doing the job the last couple weeks post Caleb Johnson snafu. But you only get three elevations before you have to sign someone to the active roster. So if they want to continue down that road with Sermon, they'll either have to bring him up to the 53, which honestly might be kind of a waste of a spot if Caleb Johnson gets out of the doghouse. Then you can just use those elevations on somebody like Raheem Blackshear with NFL running back and returner experience if you want to.
Steelers, a 4.5-point favorite, what they opened up as against the Browns on Sunday. Does that feel a little bit fishy to you at all, Brian? I thought the number might be a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love that it's sitting where it is from Vegas, because they always know. And, you know, I remember looking at the schedule when it first came out, Donnie, thinking this should be the layup of all layups for them in 2025, with the Browns being the Browns. But add to that, coming off of the London trip, and add to that the Steelers coming off of their bye week. So if there were ever a soft, cushy spot for a 10, 15, 21 point dub, you would think it would be this. But, you know, the Browns have played the Steelers tough every year, regardless of who is at quarterback for them. Maybe the odds makers feel like Kevin Stefanski is just always going to bring a good game plan here across the Ohio PA border, no matter who's under center. But I tend to think the Steelers are going to eat Dillon Gabriel alive, but you know, that line makes you think that, the Browns might have a few curveballs up their sleeve.
The Browns do two things pretty well. They can run the football. Quinshon Judkins has been a pretty good rookie, and they do have a pretty good defense.
Yeah. Yeah. They could shorten this game. They could turn it into a slugfest, and I think they will. I think that would be the smart thing for them to do just about any week with Dillon Gabriel under center, but especially this week against the Steelers, where they are going to try to tee off on him. I mean, I think it's going to be a rough day for him at Acrisure Stadium, his first true road start in the NFL, and he's doing it against a defense that, yeah, they don't have Jalen Ramsey on the back end right now, but they're as healthy as they can be pretty much up front. So between Cam Hayward collapsing the pocket, Keanu Benton finding himself across the pond, Derek Harmon, who played with Gabriel last year for that really good Oregon team as a couple grad transfers coming in there, he's been wreaking havoc. And then you get into the edge rushers. So I feel like it's going to be a long day for him. I feel like the Steelers should cover this and maybe somewhat comfortably, but I'm with you, Donnie. The fact that it actually went down. I think the initial line was 6 maybe, and whatever the experts, the sharps saw from Dillon Gabriel against the Vikings, they bumped it down even a little bit more.
Speaking of those same people, they still have little belief the Steelers will win the AFC North. The Ravens are still the favorite to claim the North even after yesterday. They are 1-4. The Steelers are 3-1. Are you buying into this, Brian? Do you think they will win the division for the first time since 2020?
It's a long season, and you know, I thought the Steelers would actually start 4-0, actually 5-0, going into this one, coming out of this one, I should say. I'm not really moving off of my 10-7 prediction, but the Ravens being this down bad certainly did throw me for a loop. One, you can't necessarily predict the injuries. Two, I mean, it was razor thin, some of those margins against the Bills and the Lions. And if even one of those goes their way, I think you feel a little bit better about them keeping their head above water and maybe going on a tear if they get healthy, especially with Lamar. But I don't really think they're going to beat the Rams at home this week if they've got Cooper Rush rolling out there again. So then they'd be 1-5. And I already said, I think the Steelers are going to beat the Browns. So they're 4-1. It would take a massive collapse by the Steelers, which we've seen it as recently as last year. It can and does happen, but it would also take the Ravens just going on a tear. So I'm a little surprised by that, and I think you'll see the margins shift even more after the results of this weekend.
Brian Batko covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome, Donnie. See you, man.
There we go. Brian Batko from the PG, from his home library. For Mr. Batko, a Shaler High School legend. He should be in the Hall of Fame if he's not already. 93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each and every Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports@937thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact info, and potential dates. Details at 937thefan.com now. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. They sent City Limits out to the Youth Football Showcase this weekend, Charlie. The one kid he did an interview with was almost his size. I think he'd probably put Austin on his ass.
Somebody in the comments on the Instagram post said, if limits put on pads and joined the kids, nobody would have batted an eye.
I think that's probably true.
Kid, so he's skinny.
I mean, I'm not exaggerating here. I know the kids that we, we go to these youth football showcases every Saturday. They're a little bit younger, but when I was in like my final year or two of rec football, I weighed more than Austin does right now. And that was at like 11 years old.
Now, did you have those kids that were just too big for the league and they weren't allowed to play?
Yes, we had a weight limit. I mean, I had to drop weight my final year because I want to say the weight limit was like 150.
Now, would you get moved up a level or were you...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Weren't allowed to.
Yeah, your option was like to play middle school football or like the eighth grade football. We had eighth grade, then we had a freshman team, and then you had JV and varsity after that.
You know what I
most
picture?
Most schools don't even have a freshman team anymore.
You know what I picture limits as? Remember in The Water Boy where they have that little segment?
The towel boy.
Where Bobby Boucher's been inspiring other schools to try out different people, and he just gets absolutely murdered.
They experimented with the towel boy at wide receiver.
Correct.
And the towel boy ran into a laundry list of problems.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what it would look like.
Yeah. Or if you've ever seen Not Another Teen Movie.
Yes,
where
yes.
The kid literally gets cut in half.
The guy gets cut in half.
That's what I picture limits as playing football.
Yeah, but I saw that kid the other day, and I'm like, man. Because, I mean, Austin's like a normal height. He's like 5'10"-ish. Like average.
I give him like 5'9".
Is he? I mean, I feel like we're only like an inch or so apart. He's not like really shorter than I am. If anything, we're like the same height.
I thought he was shorter. Well, every time I see him, he's always in a chair. That's why I always think he's smaller than he actually is.
But yeah, I mean, he only goes about 140.
If that.
And I was...
On a good day.
I was playing rec football at a 140 at 11 years old. Probably not good for me, but I digress. Charlie, another segment led by you. You got anything you want here before we get to the hodgepodge? Charlie's Angles. We've gone over some hockey. We had a fun little football debrief with Jack.
We have. And the only reason why I'm still playing this bed underneath is because it's Bruce Springsteen. I'll have to come up with a bed for
Born
for this
to Run
for Charlie's Angles. Intern Jack and I had a conversation earlier about how the 2024 draft class has the potential to be one of the best for the offensive side of the ball in NFL history.
2024
has the potential to be, like, skill position wise, one of the best that we've seen in a very long time. And then we started to look at some of the names that were on here. And this is not a shot at Roman Wilson, but it's going to end up being a shot at Roman Wilson. If you look at the people that have receptions and touchdowns and touchdown catches specifically, Roman Wilson, even though he's only played 5 games, but that's mostly because of injury and they just didn't want him to be on the field, he has one catch for 7 yards. Bo Nix has one catch for 2 yards and a touchdown. Bo Nix is a quarterback for those who are keeping score at home. And then you have people that are in front of him that were drafted after him, like a Jalen McMillan for the Buccaneers. Malik Washington has 38 receptions, 270 yards.
Luke McCaffrey.
Troy Franklin
in Denver.
Right now, the leading receiver of this draft class isn't even a receiver. It's Brock Bowers in Vegas right now. Malik Nabers.
You know who I actually think is worse than Roman Wilson, though? He technically has better stats.
Malachi Corley?
Yes. Malachi Corley was very, very hyped up coming out of Western Kentucky. Because I remember us talking about him going into the draft, like, oh, should this guy be one of the receivers that the Steelers look at in rounds 2 or 3? They were comparing this guy to Deebo Samuel. Oh, look, he did everything at Western Kentucky. He is a Swiss Army knife for any offense. He's already on his second team. He got cut by the Jets.
Yeah.
Just in his second training camp. This guy was taken number 65 overall. Yeah, I mean, I see a player like Jalen McMillan and I get upset about Roman Wilson, but that's the funny thing. I don't even think he's the worst wide receiver in his own round.
Yeah. Jermaine Burton in Cincinnati. Could be fine, but...
Yeah, he's a guy who's had, like, off-the-field troubles, too. That's pretty much what's going to hold him back. But, I mean, you guys are onto something here, because I don't know how many... I can't think of many guys who play a skilled position looking through the first round here that we can already say, like, not looking too good. I mean, the first three QBs, they all look pretty good. Williams, Daniels, and May. Harrison Jr. and Nabers. Penix looks fine to me so far. Mm-hmm. I know that Jack is a big J.J. McCarthy guy, and we'll see what ends up with him after the injury. Adunze, good player. Bo Nix looks better than most expected. Brock Bowers already, you know, one of the best tight ends, if not the best in football. A little bit disappointed by Brian Thomas in his second year, but man, he was a freak in year one.
Which, yeah, I mean, this class is loaded. And
Worthy.
Is this the class where the first 14, or was that 2023?
Oh, no, it was this class. We did not get a defensive player until Latu at 15.
And right now it's kind of proven the point that every team made the right decision of making the offensive player streak go as long as it did.
Yeah, I mean, for what it, like the funny thing is too, like the picks that were 6 or 15, 16, 17, Latu, Murphy, and Turner, it's not like they're bad players either. They've all been pretty good early in their careers.
And then you have Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, who, I mean, there are a couple guys in here, Xavier Worthy and Keon Coleman, in that, like, pocket of draft picks that you kind of see why they were picked that high. They just haven't shown it that much right now. But if they turn the corner, this could be the best skill position draft that we've seen in a very long time. And then you have Ladd McConkey at pick 34.
I found another terrible wide receiver pick, though. McConkey's great. Look, a couple of names lower than that.
McConkey.
37th overall to New England.
Yeah, that's right. Jalen Polk.
They've already gotten rid of him. He has two touchdowns.
Well, didn't they get rid of him this year because of his shoulder injury? Or did he have the injury?
They traded him to the Saints.
And the Saints knew that he had the shoulder, like the Pirates and Spencer Horowitz. We knew that he has a bum wrist, but we're going to keep him anyway.
Yes. But, I mean, he's really the first guy that looks truly disappointing as a skilled player.
Yeah, I would agree. And then you keep going down, you have a fourth-round steal, and I don't mean to bring up two Buccaneers in the same segment because it's kind of showing my bias, but Bucky Irving at round 4, 125. That's a steal with what he's been able to do.
Oh, he's been a very good player for them. I mean, I know he missed the game yesterday, but yeah, he's been very good. I mean, even some of those running backs in that round, I mean, once you're at that point, I wouldn't say these guys are necessarily bad. Now, Irving, far and away, the best one, but there's good, like, complementary running backs.
Tyron Tracy's in there as well.
That were in...
He shows potential.
Like, that same... like that same area in the draft. I mean, it does look like, at least that first round, that looks like a pretty good skilled group. There are not many names there, if any, you can point at and say, yeah, this guy is a bust on the offensive side.
I know it's still very early in their careers, but as of right now, they're pretty much all doing what they were drafted to do. Malik Nabers was looking to be one of the best wide receivers in the league this year until he tore his ACL, sadly.
Honestly, the guy that needs to show something is Jack's guy. He's one of the few question marks.
Jack's guy?
J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, I literally thought that you were talking about a guy named Jack's guy.
No, my bad. Jack's guy, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. Jack, do you have anything to say about that?
McCarthy's going to be good. Keep
say it into the microphone.
I still have loads of faith in J.J. McCarthy. I'm not panicking whatsoever. He's going to be good.
And it'll be an all-time showdown, Charlie, between two former interns, Jack and Dom. One of them saying that Caleb Williams would be the greatest quarterback of all time, and the other one just saying J.J. McCarthy will be good.
Yeah, so here's the difference that I've noticed with these two.
One of them says everything in hyperbole because he goes to Syracuse.
The guy to my left makes sense every now and again. What he says has actual thought and meaning, and he means what he says. Then you have intern Dom, who just says stuff to say stuff. And like you said, he did go to Syracuse, and there's also somebody else that's supposed to be on this show that went to Syracuse that does say things to say things every now and again. That's not a shot at Pony, but it is a shot at Pony.
Those guys like to use hyperbole.
Yeah. Or like, prime example, George Pickens and Kenny Pickett are the new Montana to Rice. It was only, what, one game, and then he was already saying that?
I don't even know if it was that. I think it was like training camp.
It might have been preseason, that's right.
Like, yeah, just, I think
you just got to let things develop as we just sit here and we talked about a draft class from a year ago that may be one of the best in history.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.